Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Yesterday was Tuesday, tomorrow's Thursday. It can only mean one. It's both Wild Card and Big News Wednesday. The biggest news is Maz Jobrani joins me on the program today. You're a bit of a nomadic figure throughout your house lately is what I just discovered. So the backgrounds change, but the fun and the intelligence is still there. What's going on, Maz?
Not much, JR. Yeah. I basically set up shop wherever my family's out there. My kids have like an off day today, so everyone's home. Then I had to take advantage of my son's room. And I just realized he's 15 years old. He has no posters on. So I think we got to go get a therapist to find out what's going on.
I tried to remember some of the posters that I had up because I started slapping those on my walls once I got to college because it was supposed, what are you supposed to do? You're in college. You're supposed to put posters on the wall for no reason. So I did. And I don't want to think about what I had. I think I had Bruce Lee. I had Tyra Banks. That was one of them. Yeah, for sure. It was the 90s. Come on, let's keep it real. That's how these things are supposed to work. And then you outgrew it. So I'm glad that I at least did. But let's go ahead and get the kid on the normal path of embarrassing posters that he'll once later regret in life. I like
absolutely. I had the Dallas Cowboys and Heather Thomas. That's who I had.
Heather Thomas. I gotta look it up. I'm gonna refer back to that in a bit. And actually, we'll see if any of the folks watching out there had any Heather. Heather Thomas.
She was in The Fall Guy with Lee Majors and the other guy. You'll see. You Google it. Okay. You'll see.
I'll definitely have to Google it. But since we've already started a bit late, I'm going to Google it. We'll talk about all that during the break when we talk to the folks that, of course, are either going to be celebrating and joining in on your Heather Thomas, I believe, or if they're going to be clowning you for it. We're all going to find out. But one person that's definitely getting clowned by his own issues on his own is one Donald Trump. You guys know how this works. He's in court. He's got a bit of a concert-like tour across the country to visit courtrooms and, I guess, defend himself. This is what happened.
So he's alive, trying to get a better deal for himself, but not going to work. This case, by any other judge, this case would have been over a long time ago. He did nothing wrong, and that's been proven. Thank you.
Donald Trump was about to go into court yesterday, and he has some more folks that have flipped on him. They're testifying in his face. In particular, this particular court case that he's going to talk about was the one about deflating and inflating his assets. So he's got to defend himself on that. And one Michael Cohen, who worked with him, the fixer, who's been detached from him since early in his presidency, he was there talking about what it is he experienced and what Donald Trump told him. This is what he told him. Let's go from these reports from NBC News. He says, let me just turn around and say that this is not about Donald Trump versus Michael Cohen or Michael Cohen versus Donald Trump. This is Michael Cohen talking. This is about accountability, plain and simple. And we leave it up to Judge Engoron in order to make all the determinations on that. So I thank you all for coming. Great intro. I think he feels like he's on a court show or something. That's how these guys operate. But still, he had some real stuff to say. This is what he was talking about. He says, I was tasked by Mr. Trump to increase the total assets based upon a number that he arbitrarily elected. That's what he testified, saying that he and former Trump finance chief Alan Weisselberg labored to, quote, reverse engineer the various different asset classes, increase those assets in order to achieve a number that Mr. Trump asked us and asked what that number was. Cohen replied, whatever number Trump told us to, because that's how money works. That's how assets work. That's how declaring your assets before you get maybe loans or even maybe insurance kickbacks or breaks over it. More from that, because he also testified that Trump would summon him in Weisselberg to say, for example, I'm actually not worth $4.5 billion. I'm really worth more like six. Does this sound similar to the beef he had with Forbes for not putting him on the 400 wealthiest list for the second out of 2-3 years because he's just mad about what it looks like? So he thinks inflating my assets is a normal thing. I mean, who doesn't do that? It's normal stuff. A little bit more. Cohen said that he and the finance chief would then inflate the value of Trump properties by pegging them to, quote, comparable real estate that was actually different. There were brand new developments with higher ceilings, more sweeping views, and no rent regulation, for instance. Insurance company executives were shown the exaggerated statements where the combination of extremely high values and low liabilities could net Trump more favorable premiums. Again, that's what Cohen testified that he was dealing with him as well. First thoughts here, Muzz.
Well, let me just start by saying that Donald Trump put the ass into assets, okay? That was easy. That was an easy one.
Layup, bro.
Layup, thank you.
But you finger rolled it. I like you put something extra on it.
Just like that, just a little bit. I love this. I mean, if there's anything with all the doom and gloom that's going on in the news these days, I get a lot of schadenfreude from watching Donald Trump just have people flip on him and then watch him seething as he goes in and out of court and giving his little press conferences or whatever you want to call them. I love the fact that Michael Cohen is, you know, Michael Cohen has his show Mea Culpa. I've actually been on it a couple of times, and it's great. He goes hard after Trump, and it's great to have somebody who was there, who's got the receipts. I mean, obviously, the only issue is that now Trump's defense is going to try and say that, Cohen is disgruntled and that he had lied and all that other stuff. So that doesn't help, but there's just so much evidence. And already, by the way, Trump's been found guilty on this. So it's, you know, I remember, if you remember, like I right before the real estate crash, I remember running into somebody who was like, yeah, I just bought a house for zero down. And a lot of mortgage brokers were doing things where they would be like, you know, how much do you make? And someone would say, oh, I make 50,000. All right, we'll put 75. You know, they're exaggerating, you know, and that was happening with a lot of people and it caused a big problem, but nobody was exaggerating by $2 billion, you know, I mean, I'm sure some people were, but this guy's the master of it. And the fact that he was doing, you know, that it would go higher for the loans and it would go lower for the taxes. I mean, he's just a criminal. And it's very much like, I remember again in high school, we had a friend, this guy we'd play basketball with. And if he wasn't winning, he'd take the ball and walk away.
Jeez.
And so that's Donald Trump. He's like, it's my rules. Everything's fine. I never did anything wrong. It's a witch hunt, but it's all coming back. And it's so fun to watch, JR. I could watch this stuff all week long.
There's a reason we like to go back to it, because you can't forget the things that this guy is going through and the things that he's been accused of doing and his responses to them. So I think you touched on some of those responses. Of course, some of his attorneys then were cross-examining and grilling Cohen, talking about how he's a liar. The reason they're doing that is because that's all they've got. It's also all Donald Trump's got. So he took to Truth Social and said similar things, but only the way he can. That's what he said about Cohen. Said Michael Cohen is a complete and total disaster in the Biden-inspired trial today. He had to capitalize the Biden-inspired trial because, I don't know, lie after lie and getting caught with each and getting caught each time. My great assets, this is what he has, this is his main focus here. My great assets are worth more than is on my financial statements, and it's not even close. The rigged trial doesn't even give me the right to a jury, but the people are watching and they're seeing what's going on here. A miscarriage of justice. The statute being used for this case gives me no rights and has never been used for this before. But the facts are on my side. I'm looking for some specifics in this witch hunt that he finishes that truth over. This is a witch hunt. It's not even close that your statements show something different than what is it they're accusing you of. There's an easy way to show that, bro. You can show those statements, you can show those numbers. But I think what this shows a little bit more is that you arbitrarily inflate and deflate numbers based off of whatever it is you want to tell someone. And you're still doing it in your defense of them showing that you do it. Whatever. Here's more though, because he also went on Cohen's past statements calling him a liar. Did you know this guy's a liar? He worked for the biggest Here's what he said on Truth Social. Trump lawyer, this is what he was quoting. Trump lawyer Michael Cohen told the Huffington Post that Trump is worth a lot, because this is what he was quoting from Huffington Post from April of 2011. Substantially more than what's recorded in Forbes. They don't take into account the value of the Trump brand, of the mark, one of the most valuable marks that's ever been created, Cohen said. He's quoting from this article. He has very little debt, AAA assets. So that's what Cohen had said before. Highlighting the fact that Donald Trump is worth so much money. This truth, I assume, came after the first truth that said, Michael Cohen's a huge liar. Did you know he's a liar? He's a liar. He's a liar. Let me quote Michael Cohen and what he said about me and my huge assets. Do you think that means those huge assets could potentially be a lie? Because Michael Cohen is a huge liar and Michael Cohen lied for you as a profession. And that's what he's now telling everyone. I think this all makes sense and you're not flexing the way that you think you're flexing. Once again, incriminating yourself or at least admitting to the crimes that everyone said you pulled off.
By the way, his brand used to be had value, but people are running from this guy. I mean, I believe LIV Golf is leaving him. You know, you have places we saw people were tearing down the name of this hotel. So the brand name is toxic. If the country and the world were all MAGA Republicans, then this guy, yes, he's, you know, his brand is worth a lot more and he's amazing and he can do no wrong. But the problem is that as much as he's got his portion of his followers hypnotized, everyone can clearly see that he's a lying, cheating, stealing, forever, you know, bigot. I mean, it's all of the above. And so even for him to say his brand is worth something, it was, but it really ain't anymore.
If it goes this way, you ready for a nice, fun piece of irony? This has been speculated. And I think it might be true. When Donald Trump ran for president, it was out of revenge because he got made fun of. But also, it was probably to help inflate his business and his money. Obviously, because that's what he did once he was there. He immediately got to enriching himself and his family and friends based off his position, his power, and his influence. So he did all that. And in doing so, we've gotten to the point where people are exposing more and more his lifelong grift and his lifelong, potentially, his lifelong business dealings that are not always on the up and up. Include a lot of lies, inflation, and deflation of assets, as we've already seen here. So in doing so, he's potentially, as you point out, Maz, destroying his business name, destroying maybe some of these businesses and buildings that people still for some reason believed were worth something or worth being around. But now so many things are toxic about him because of his political career now that he thought was going to assist in his business side. His business side is potentially suffering, and I think it is. And all of his assets are suffering because of his political approach to make his business work better. He could have just sat down and chilled out and let the people who knew how devastatingly horrible you were know it without everyone else knowing it, and then making everyone alienate themselves from you later. Hope that's what it turns out. But as I mentioned yesterday, I'm usually the pessimist. Maybe I'm in a better mood today. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think we started late. Let's get one more story in, you guys. There's other folks that are flipping, you guys. We mentioned Sidney Powell. Yesterday, we talked about Jenna Ellis. Where's that guy? Mark Meadows, top guy right next to him. I believe at one point, chief of staff. Is that what was going on? I'm trying to remember what position he had. It's shifted so much. Who knows? So there's Mark Meadows, who now has been apparently working with the prosecution and then going after his former boss, Donald Trump. He's talking to Jack Smith's team, that guy, the ghoul, Jack Smith. He's talking to him because I think they've got Mark Meadows all hemmed up. So now, he's seen him three times just in this year, including once before this federal grand jury, which only came after Smith granted Meadows this immunity for his testimony under oath. A source that was talking to ABC News pointed out what happened. Here it goes. The sources said that Meadows informed Smith's team that he repeatedly told Trump in the weeks after the 20 presidential election that the allegations of significant voter fraud coming to them were baseless. A striking break from Trump's prolific rhetoric regarding the election. And according to the sources, Meadows also told the federal investigators Trump was being dishonest with the public when he first claimed to have won the election only hours after polls closed on November 3rd, before the final results were in. Quote, obviously we didn't win, a source quoted Meadows as telling Smith's team in hindsight of that situation. Again, though, more sources told ABC News that Smith's investigators were keenly interested in questioning Meadows about election-related conversations he had with Trump during his final months in office, and whether Meadows actually believed some of those claims that he included in a book that he published after Trump left office, a book that he promised to, quote, correct the record on Trump. And that's when he maybe gets himself tied up in knots. Because I remember there's this particular Washington Post article. I was thinking about this. Mark Meadows told Donald Trump yo, this is going to be a problem. You actually didn't win the election. The council, other folks surrounding you say so. I believe Bill Barr was one of them as well. But Mark Meadows was definitely one of those names. I remember the January 6th committee, you know, that witch hunt committee that they railed on consistently over and over and over again. When Cassidy Hutchinson testified that they were talking about January 6th, it's upcoming, on like January 2nd, this is going to be a big day. And also how they had this coalition of folks that kept telling Trump, yo, you lost. Here's a quote actually from this article, because this is what they said he walked in on Donald Trump saying. Again, this is from the Washington Post, not New York Times. The Washington Post. It said former President Trump's communications director recounted popping into the Oval Office roughly a week after the election to find a morose Trump watching TV and said this. Can you believe I lost to this effing guy? This is what Trump lamented, referring to Joe Biden. So from folks that are talking about it, they've already revealed that Donald Trump not only heard that he lost that election, but that he also admitted to it without anyone asking him. So did you lose, bro? He just said, I can't believe I lost to this effing guy. Let's go to some of the things from his book after your first thoughts here, Maz.
Well, you know, one of the issues that we're going to run into is Donald Trump is like a mafia boss. He never uses text or email or anything. I don't know if he wrote anything down. At the same time, he's got such an ego that there's probably a recording of him somewhere going, you know, I lost the election. You know, I mean, there's probably a recording somewhere. But the bigger issue is, even once it comes out and all these people that are so close to him, his former chief of staff is going to say that he knew it and everybody says he knew it. Still, he has a big portion of his followers in the population who still will make excuses and still vote for him, because the truth is that he allows them to lean into their racism. He allows them to lean into their sexism, their anti-LGBTQ sentiment, their anti-immigrant sentiment. He allows them to be the worst person that they want to be. And so even when it comes out that he knew he was lying, he knew that he lost, there's still going to be a portion of the population that's going to stay with him, unfortunately.
I always wonder how these aides, these advisors, these subordinates, attorneys continue to work from it after the previous ones talk about the horrific experiences that they had. In many cases, ended up in them not being paid or them being indicted, things like that. By the way, we did mention that Mark Meadows wrote a book that actually said opposite things. What was in that book? Let's go to this. More from ABC News. According to Meadows' book, again, this is Meadows writing a book, but he's saying the opposite. According to Meadows' book, the election was stolen and rigged with help from allies in the liberal media who ignored actual evidence of fraud right there in plain sight for anyone to access and analyze. First of all, everyone knew that was BS. When someone writes something like that, and it was assisted by the liberal media. Which ones? Who knows? They're all, if you're a liberal media, according to these folks, then you assisted in this entire process, because that's how these things work. It doesn't have to really have a coordination. It just has to be said. More though, but as described to ABC News, Meadows privately told Smith's investigators that to this day, he has yet to see any evidence of fraud that would have kept now President Joe Biden from the White House. And he told them he agrees with a government assessment at the time that the 2020 election was the most secure election in U.S. history. Jenna Ellis was also talking about how she had some hindsight. She'd be doing different things too. Last part. Meadows said that in mid-December, he privately informed Trump that Giuliani hadn't produced any evidence to back up the many allegations he was making. Then Attorney General Bill Barr also informed Trump and Meadows in an Oval Office meeting that allegations of election fraud were not panning out, as Barr recounted to testimony in Congress last year. Hold on. If something is provable, if there's evidence behind it, it doesn't need to pan out. What's panning? Panning out means you put these things together and actually panned out in your favor and you weren't sure if it could. It should pan out in your favor if you have evidence and you're presenting it in court and then you lost 18 cases after you lost the election that went through all of your evidence and your panning out of evidence that didn't really pan out. That means that you lost, bro, and you didn't have the evidence. We still haven't seen it. They point out that Mark Meadows hadn't seen it yet. So before you jump in one more time, Maz, I want to read this a bit of an extensive response from former President Donald Trump, because he's not happy with Mark Meadows either, because he once loved him, called him a special friend and a great chief of staff. As good as it gets. I think he said similar things about Bill Barr before he turned on him too. He probably said similar things about Michael Cohen before he turned on him as well. Maybe Jenna Ellis. Maybe Rudy Giuliani's still waiting on him though. That'll come. This is what Donald Trump said. Bear with me. I don't think Mark Meadows would lie about the rigged and stolen 2020 presidential election. Stolen. Look at the top. Stolen with two L's, because I don't know. Maybe it was autocorrect. But I'm not sure how often stolen, which is what, like a fruitcake? Am I right? Isn't a stolen like a fruitcake, like a German fruitcake? Anyway, he's ridiculous. The stolen 2020 election, merely for getting immunity against persecution by deranged prosecutor Jack Smith. But when you really think about it, after being hounded like a dog for 3 years, told you'll be going to jail for the rest of your life, your money and your family will be forever gone, and we're not at all interested in exposing that those that did the rigging. If you say bad things about the terrible monster, Donald Trump, we won't put you in prison. You can keep your family and your wealth, and perhaps you can make up some really horrible stuff about him. And we may very well erect a statue of you in the middle of our decaying and now very violent capital, Washington, D.C. He goes on. It's a cartoonish expression. It seems like a child wrote it for fun. Maybe it's an SNL sketch if it's done well enough as far as the writing. But how anyone takes these types of statements and responses seriously from someone that they could probably see back in the White House is beyond any comprehension. He's talking about stolen elections, and he has this scenario where he puts quotes about how they said they're going to erect a statue of Mark Meadows in D.C. It's supposed to be hyperbole, right? I don't know, but they're buying it, Maz.
He's setting up his followers for when it comes out that Meadows did actually dish dirt on him, and then he's going to say, "See, they had to give him all of these incentives to do so." So he's setting up the dummies who follow him to go, "Oh, see, he told us before, and it actually happened like that." The irony is there was election fraud, and it was Mark Meadows who I think was like, I think he was registered in two places or something, or he voted out of one of those trailer park cars or what? I mean, I forget, but he did something illegal. And the other thing that's ironic is that these people like Mark Meadows or Bill Barr or any of these people who come out and they speak up against him, all of a sudden we get excited. We go, "Wow, this guy's so brave for coming out. Thank you for doing this, Jenna Ellis. Thank you for coming out and speaking the truth." But the truth is, these people are bad people too. You know, Mark Meadows is a bad dude. If you look at who he's voted for, he's one of the Freedom Caucus guys. He's a bad guy. But now we've got to root for the bad guys. Whoever thought you'd be rooting for Liz Cheney?
Oh, my God.
We've been rooting for Liz Cheney. So that's how crazy this world has gotten. And we all know it's so clear that the guy is a lying, cheating, stealing. I don't know what other. There's a lot of other adjectives I could throw in there. We don't have time for it. But it's good. It's good that more and more people are flipping, and hopefully soon enough, even though his followers will continue to support him and believe him, soon enough he'll be wearing an orange suit to match his orange hair, and he won't be in the White House.
It's what he knows, though. That's why he has those pseudo press conferences outside the courtroom, because he's not looking to convince anyone in the court of law. He loses there all the time. He wins with his minions of supporters that follow him behind the back. By the way, the voter fraud charges for Mark Meadows, he won't face them, but he was registered and had an absentee vote in North Carolina, but also two other states. He had some registration in two other states at the same time. The voter fraud's all over the country. It's sad that it happens amongst MAGA. Let's take this first break, though, you guys. I'm curious what you have to say about the first couple stories. We went through the Trump issues and also the flipping that keeps happening. The dominoes continue to fall, just waiting for them to finally crash. But also, when we get back, there's more happening. Ron DeSantis is fighting back as he's losing more ground. So I guess it's a bit of a wash. But also, at the same time, we're going to get to more social political things. Of course, more attacks on folks from the LGBTQ+ community for existing. And I think it really shows a lot about our society and the way that we see people only if we decide to see them as humans. It's a dehumanization process that's all over the world. Let's keep it real as we approach more. Let's see what you guys have to say. We'll talk to you in a second. I feel like I want to read one more. Oh, I didn't mention a little bit of tech issues off the top, which is why we got started late. Telly Panda, also over here, I believe it was on Twitch, saying at Octo Squiddies. That is true. Thank you, tech team, for working so hard. We appreciate you. I'd like to pass my sentiments along as well. And thank you to the mods. I'm sure you guys have kept everyone up to date on what's happening. So let's go ahead and keep them up to date on what's happening in the world. Let's go straight to this next story, Moz. Why not? It's Ron DeSantis, and he's still trying. I guess that's the best we could say for him. We got good news and we got bad news for Ron DeSantis. Actually, we got bad news and then kind of good news for Ron DeSantis. As he's struggling with his donations and can continue to keep his name in somewhat in the forefront of this presidential campaign that they're doing on the Republican side. He's losing endorsements, though. And, you know, that's the big deal. I've been talking about how someone has a chance once they've raised enough money. And when you're losing money, you're going the wrong direction. So this Florida, I guess, I don't know if it's a billionaire or just someone who has tons of money. He's dropping his donations because of Ron DeSantis's anti-Semitic approach, or at least his allowance of anti-Semitic energy to flow through his state. Details from CNN. Representative Randy Fine, I'm not sure if you guys remember him, the lone Jewish Republican elected to the Florida legislature, said when the state experienced anti-Semitic demonstrations over the past 18 months, DeSantis, quote, said almost nothing. And worse, he did almost nothing. Quite true. The past 2 weeks have made me realize our choice as Jews is simple, is what Fine wrote in an op-ed published by the Washington Times. We can vote for the governor who says all the right things, or we can vote for the president who actually does them. When it comes to action, this is the funniest part. Donald Trump has never let us down. This is a Jewish legislator. And he said, Ron DeSantis has let Jewish folks down, which he has, as he's let the anti-Semitism flow and actually somewhat promote it. But the alternative is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he's the hero of Jewish folks. He's the purveyor and is the hero that we need to push back against anti-Semitism, because that's what Donald Trump is about. What are they talking about? Bro, you can find yourself a Republican that's not an anti-Semite. The problem is you're dealing with two of them right now. A little bit more. DeSantis described Fine's remarks as responsiveness as pure politics. And he suggested that the Republican representative was lashing out because he wasn't named, this is when it gets real dirty, named the president of Florida Atlantic University, because we all know they're all looking for some kind of professional advancement. So pressed on why he didn't explicitly condemn the neo-Nazi marches in Central Florida or anti-Semitic displays in Jacksonville in recent years, like other Florida Republicans, DeSantis said he didn't want to elevate their nonsense. He also suggested that he did in the aftermath of neo-Nazi marches near Orlando, that they were trying to smear him. He did say that. They're trying to smear him because they point out that he doesn't seem to have an issue with what it is they're saying and doing in the middle of your state. I guess that's a smear. Last part here. DeSantis also claimed that some of the people participating in the neo-Nazi marches are fake and sought to distinguish those marches from recent pro-Palestinian protests, which he has publicly and fiercely condemned. DeSantis and the state university system ordered two Florida universities to deactivate their chapters for Students for Justice in Palestine. You want them to deactivate chapters that are called Students for Justice in Palestine. I know that's just the title. Maybe if they talk about the things that they're upset about them doing outside of maybe trying to defend, innocent life, maybe that's what they're upset about, or they're upset about what it may actually look like. Because we know once things are said a certain way or called certain groups a certain way, that's just the narrative, and there's no changing that. By the way, Maz, he said that he didn't want to elevate and give any attention to these neo-Nazis in the state, then also said that they're probably fake and there's a bunch of, actors being put in place. Which one is it? Are you promoting anti-Semites, or are you trying to avoid these actors that are acting like anti-Semites? It doesn't matter. It just talks.
Well, that's one of their defenses. Whenever anything happens, when January 6th the Capitol was attacked, they originally said it was the left attacking, then it was the FBI attacking, then it was Antifa, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly he's saying those people that are out there waving Nazi flags in Florida are, they're probably sent by AOC or somebody to, ruin his chances of becoming president. The worst thing that DeSantis could have done was to run for president, because it's really shown his lack of charisma, his lack of ability to really be a leader who inspires. And it's really showed more and more of his bigotry. I mean, I was just in Florida and you hear people talking about how he's basically gotten, immigrants to leave, and now they can't find people to do a lot of the work that's needed. A lot of people, obviously, with his battle he had with Disney, he's bad for business. So he's really just a really bad candidate. And you're right, for the best choice of an anti-Semite to be Donald Trump. I mean, that's really bad. That Donald Trump is the guy who famously, when they said, when the marchers in Charlottesville said, Jews will not replace us, he said, well, there's fine people on both sides. 100%. Yeah, right. And he's also the one who recently threatened more Democratic Jews. And he used terminology that was really just inappropriate. Because they had not supported him in the first, in his election. So It's really a bad situation. I don't even know why DeSantis is still hanging in there. He should be focusing on Matt Gaetz, who's going to come after him in the gubernatorial race in the very near future. He should get out and start working on that because, you know, DeSantis don't have much time left as a leader.
Well, two things. I've wondered this too. If you lose, you're governor of a state and you run for president and you don't win even in the primary, there's not many other places for you to go. You just went for the highest. If you fall short, you go back. I guess you can go back and be governor, but that's always going to kind of be a stain on your leadership and your electability, even in that role that you've already been elected to. I just think that's how politics tends to work. It's going to be a bit of a nightmare for him. He also doesn't want to drop out before, say, Tim Scott, Chris Christie. Tim Scott's thinking about it. But not yet. But there is some pushback. Ron DeSantis is actually looking to push back on some of the devastating losses he's taking against Donald Trump, who is a devastating loser, which makes him look even worse. So let's jump straight into this part. DeSantis has been struggling to relaunch and get himself going in his campaign against Trump. So he's initiating some new attack tactics on Trump. He's relying on pointing out that he was nice to Caitlyn Jenner because, you know, she's trans. So, oh my God. And also there's other aspects of his accident prone type of campaign. So this is what the DeSantis war room is setting up over on X. And it's a Trump accident tracker, you know, like those 0, 1, 2 days free, accident free in our warehouse or something like that. That's the fun they're going with. And this is what they said about it. Today, we're unveiling the quote, Trump accident tracker, which is a way of recording how long the former president can go without a workplace accident on the campaign trail. And they said they'll explain why it's needed. So what's in this 7 Twitter threads or a 7 post thread on Twitter from their account talking about all the gaffes that Donald Trump has had. Let's go straight to one of them where Trump, it's about Trump and DeSantis and some trans comments because that's gaffe worthy.
Can a man become a woman?
Let me ask you something. Can a man become a woman?
No. How ridiculous that we're even asking that question.
It's how ridiculous are we asking that question? You're still losing, bro. Either way, so the hate is supposed to be on that. And Donald Trump is trying to find the best way to act like he doesn't hate folks and still appeal to as many voters as possible. So that was the first gaffe. Of course, Ron DeSantis is on the right end of that, according to them. There's more, though, because when they're attacking LGBTQ plus folks, you know, it's costing Ron because remember with this headline from USA Today, Ron DeSantis is waging this war on woke in Florida. And then that's when these billionaire donors are now diving out because one of them is named Ken Griffin. He's a CEO and he pulled his financial support over DeSantis's fight with Disney and that whole don't say gay bill that he was pushing that then he was regretting after folks pointed out how hateful and arbitrarily across the board hateful that was. But that's what he dove into. That's what he thought would help him. Once it wasn't, he's starting to lose some funding here. Here's one more clip from that accident tracker, though, that they're talking about. As he's losing money, maybe this will help him out. This one's about Viktor Orban.
You know, I was very honored as a man, Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's probably like one of the strongest leaders anywhere in the world. And he's the leader of... Right? He's the leader of Turkey. Fronts on both Russia. Yeah, you could sit down. We'll be here for a little
while. I mean, he kind of got him there. Prime Minister Viktor Orban, of course, that fascist in Hungary, not Turkey, but still. Who cares? It's the same thing, right, Maz?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't even know. I remember there was something where I used to do a joke about how he probably doesn't know how many countries there are. And not that anybody should know how many countries there are, but how surprised he'd be with all the countries that he didn't even know were countries. Like he'd be like Malta. I thought that was an ice cream. but then later on there was a press conference he was giving and he was talking about countries. He's like, I didn't even know there was this many countries. And so, yeah, he clearly doesn't know the difference between Hungary and Turkey. When the guy said, can a man become a woman? It made me think that song, when a man loves a woman, when a man becomes a woman, they should redo it.
It's a good remake.
A good remake, right? But it's amazing how Ron DeSantis's team thinks that he's good for being bad. You know, like they're like, oh, he's He's not going to, you know, say anything pro-LGBTQ. He's anti-LGBTQ, so you should like him for that. And maybe Ron DeSantis will know the difference between Turkey and Hungary. But that's like the best. When they said accident tracker, first of all, I thought it was going to be like Donald Trump slipping and falling and stuff, which I thought was kind of
funny. That'd be
funny.
More fun.
Yeah, that was funny. But then it was him just saying things, like him saying like, yeah, you know, a man could transition, you know, you could have someone be, you know, transition, sure. Like, and then they're like, you see how bad he is? Could you imagine if like the next thing, I mean, by the way, here's Donald Trump saying some things that might be actually good, you know, like if he had said something about like, well, do you think a woman should have the right to an abortion? If he said, well, accident, you know, it's like, it reminds me of those like, yeah, you know, those, they should have that. You know, those like those commercials, like the lawyer commercials, like, have you been in an accident? You know, like they should have like a thing come out. But it's a sad, sad campaign. Like, I think I think I'm polling better than Ron DeSantis in the Republican primary. And I'm not even running. So that's how bad he's doing.
It's a problem. I don't know where they go from here. They're trying everything. I mean, that's one thing I can give them. They're definitely trying, because this is a whole breakdown for as many gaffes as possible on Donald Trump. But what they keep forgetting, and this is going to be the easy response, anybody who's against a Republican that's against Ron DeSantis can pull. Just play that old ad where he said he's little Trump. MAGA, bigly, love it. All that stuff he was pushing. I'm baby Trump. I'm little Trump. So anything he can criticize Trump on, he's the little version of it. Just saying. Let's squeeze in one more. Ashley, you're going to be very upset with me, aren't you? Should I go out? You're not. Yes. Ashley's got my back. Let's go to this next story. Disgusting people on all ends here. Let's start. This is an ongoing problem that I think is pretty obvious, but many folks who hate LGBTQ plus folks, particularly young folks and their family dynamics, would celebrate over something like this. Is a good example of it, because there's a conservative conservative host on Blaze TV. His name is Steve Deese, and he applauded a viewer that called in and talked about how horrific of a human he is. This is just within their own realms. This is just my opinion. Let's listen to the part of that conversation where the father called into that show.
We did everything we thought was right in raising our kids. We attended church weekly and were involved in functions of the church. We supported them 1,000% in their school functions and extracurricular activities. We prioritized their needs above our wants. My daughter was my world, my sidekick. All throughout high school, she was your typical teenage daughter. She dated a guy from our church during her years in high school, a good, respectful kid from a good family who loved the Lord as well. When it came for her to go to college, she went to a school about 4 hours from home. We weren't worried at all about anything, as we felt we had fully equipped her to face the world. This is where everything in our world fell apart. After returning to school for the fall semester, unbeknownst to us initially, she got grabbed by the lesbian cult. By November, she had broken up with her boyfriend of 5 years and was fully immersed in the rainbow cult and was now dating girls. She finally came forward to us, and we naturally had the emotions of anger and heartbrokenness.
She came to you guys, and you had anger and heartbrokenness. Anger, because she is who she is. Previous to you guys actually discovering who she is, you were happy because it was what you wanted her to be. But, you know, that's just being parents, right? Just being angry and heartbroken of your kid being who she is. By the way, he pointed out that was a letter, by the way, written by a dad writing into the show. So apologies, he didn't call in. But there was some particular language there. He used. She was grabbed by the lesbian cult. No issues with Donald Trump grabbing women in reality, but they're being grabbed by the lesbian cult. And that's really a problem because, you know, they're aggressive. There's a little bit more of that, because as they went further into this, the applause for this father's approach, as he details further, is when this thing really got nasty. This is when he talked about how he ended his relationship with his kid.
She became militant towards us for not embracing her choices. We were getting the typical slurs like homophobes and bigots. She kept insisting we didn't love her because we weren't embracing her. She was filled with anger and rage toward us. It finally got to the point where she told me point blank that if I didn't change my beliefs, then she was done talking to us or having anything to do with us. Steve, she basically demanded we deny our faith. That was demonic words coming from her mouth. Needless to say, it has been 3 years. I haven't physically seen or spoken to her in 2 years. She has my number blocked and moved to another state with the person the government labels as her wife. Parents will do anything for their kids. Almost all parents would not risk losing their relationship with their kids over this. So almost all cave in and affirm. They will have to answer for that one day. This is the hardest thing imaginable. I want to see her and hug her and talk to her badly. Not a day goes by that I don't think about her and my entire demeanor suffers. I only have a handful of family that support my wife and I. My parents kind of do, and I have one aunt and her husband and their two adult children, and that's it. Everyone else thinks we are wrong and someone even speak to us.
Weird. There's all kinds of signs pointing to you being the a-hole here, but still, they stick by their guns. I'd love your thoughts, Maz. One last clip. This is how he ended it, this entire note.
I bring this to you because I want it to bring you encouragement. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep talking boldly. I never, ever thought something like this could happen to us. And if it could happen to a family like mine, it can truly happen to anyone. So keep sounding the alarm of the evil demonic forces that are capturing our kids and all of society. David, this is not as uncommon of a story as we would wish, unfortunately. I have nothing to add except what David himself said.
Anything to add, Mats?
I like how somber he was at the end. David, yeah. I have nothing to add. Your daughter likes women. It always amazes me how much God cares about who you're dating. It's just, you know, there's natural disasters, there's war, there's accidents, there's cancer, all that stuff. But God is really concerned about if your daughter is dating a girl. I mean, grow up, wake up. What is wrong with you? It's like, just look around. Like, I'm a parent. I could never imagine somebody like leaving their kid, you know, not seeing their kids because of the person the kid is dating. I mean, it just blows my mind. And this guy's an idiot, clearly. David Deuce or Steve Deuce, whatever his name was. Deuce, whatever. He looks like an idiot. The guy who wrote the letter is an idiot. And I'm so happy their daughter got away from them because she's going to lead a much better, happy life with good people who love her and support her and are not in the cult of their religion. These people have been taken by the cult of their religion. So
I hope that she's healing, bro, because that's a hard thing to deal with. The people you grew up with then saying that you're not worth their attention, their time, or even, you know, their lives. And as strong as she's being in separating herself, that's a hard thing to do. So, yeah. I mean, this other thing is, many of the homeless folks that end up on the streets, maybe they've been rejected, they're bouncing off from couch to couch. Many of them are young LGBTQ plus folks who have been, disowned by their families, kicked out, told that they don't want them around, maybe kill themselves. All these things, they say stuff like that to their children, then go back and say, can you believe they came with that evil upside down world? I'm upside down on the break. Let's take this really fast. Talk to you guys. And I got one more story to fill in before we get out of this hour. Come on, y'all. Let's see you in a second. So let's jump straight to this last story because this was something I was confused about, but then it makes more sense. Let's go.
It's taco.
Why did I get bleeped? Because this is a commercial and there's a trademark on taco.
I mean, how could someone own taco?
Come on, man. Everyone should be able to say and celebrate taco.
Taco, taco.
What are we doing? Thankfully, someone is doing something about it. No more trademark, no more bleeping. Starting right now.
Taco Tuesday!
You guys know I'm obsessive about sports, particularly the NBA. It started yesterday. This has nothing to do with that. Yes, that is LeBron James and that Taco Tuesday has been bleeped. Commercial for Taco Bell. I didn't know what was going on even when I saw that commercial. What are they bleeping? This is some fun random thing. Because LeBron James was pushing Taco Tuesday damn near every Tuesday on his social media, so he connected with Taco Bell. The problem here is there's two small restaurants that were holding out for a trademark that they had on the term Taco Tuesday. And Taco Bell said, yo, I'm Taco Bell. I'm going to stomp on you. That's what they did. Let's watch this. I mean, let's listen to this from CNN Business. The chain's months-long efforts to cancel usage of the trademark ended on Tuesday with Taco Bell saying that its ambitious goal has been met. That's after this one restaurant named Gregory's Restaurant and Bar in Summers Point, New Jersey, forfeited its trademark this week after more than four decades of owning it. Taco Bell didn't reveal if a financial settlement was involved, though. Forfeiting the trademark was the, quote, right move, according to trademark attorney Josh Gerben, who was not involved in the case. He told CNN that Gregory's legal fees would have been an extreme burden to bear for any small business, estimating it to be at least $100,000. Again, back in July, Taco John's was the other one. I talked about those two chains, those entities, which is, it's a smaller regional chain, and it also abandoned its trademark registration before it got to this point. So Gregory's was the last one to hold out. So Taco Bell said it fought to cancel the trademark because the commonly used phrase should be freely available for to all who make, sell, eat, and celebrate tacos. The full removal of the legalities surrounding the Taco Tuesday trademark means that restaurants can use the term without fear of legal repercussion. Come on, bro. It's Taco Tuesday. Anyone's used it. I've seen it on, some small chain out here. I've seen it on some mom and pops. I've seen it on bigger ones like Taco Bell. I didn't know there was even a trademark issue, but apparently the big boy Taco Bell has freed it up for everyone. Are you not merciful, Maz?
I didn't know you could trademark that. But you know, first of all, kudos to those restaurants for doing that. And hopefully, I'm hoping they got paid a little bit from,
right,
you know, from Taco Bell. But now I'm wondering if someone's trademarking fajita Fridays and salsa Saturdays and sriracha Sundays. I mean, you got to have it all trademarked just
in
case.
Don't give any ideas, bro.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, it's a big day. I really feel like it really changed the world. And I'm really happy we can all celebrate and finally say Taco Tuesday without getting sued.
What is Taco Bell getting out of this, bro? Big corporations don't do this for just for fun, like they said.
Their profits went up. They've been selling a lot of their taco sales went up. So, good luck to people eating Taco Bell. And
they even did something else. They pushed, they're giving, maybe it's in this graphic for Gregory's Restaurant and Bar, Taco Tuesday brought, this is what Gregory said, brought a lot of pride over the past 40 years. Relinquishing the trademark registration doesn't change that, but it does allow others in Jersey the same opportunity to build their own traditions and help spread Taco Tuesdays. It's such a sacred thing they're talking about. But apparently, I think Taco Bell has also given out free Doritos Locos tacos on some particular day to only residents in Jersey. How about one more big middle finger to Gregory's? They're like, oh, you're in Jersey, huh? This is what we're going to give away. Not everywhere else. We're not getting free tacos here in California. They're only getting them in Jersey because Gregory's overstepped and forgot who the F Taco Bell was.
Don't mess
around. I guess it's the good and it's the bad. I'm over time. Let's take a break, you guys. We're going to go into the aftermath in a minute. And if you guys would like to be members, of course, join youtube.com/thedamagereport/join. We got more to talk about. As I said, we loosened up a little bit, but it's still serious stuff. There's a sex scandal going on with politics. It's not really a sex scandal. It's just people are obsessed with sex. Also, there's incels. Speaking of sex, we're going to get into the mind of an incel. I think we might be surprised by some of the things that they think or the way that they go about their lives. We'll do that in a second. Hold on to those ass cheeks. See you. Let's go here. First with TYT member comments. Carly says he was hungry for turkey. Come on, man. You know what? My son gives me all kinds of trouble for my dad jokes. We're going to hold on to Carly. It's Carly 1234. But hold on for a second. As basic as that joke was, I'm going to hang on for a blue ribbon just because. Nostra Science says, macho Governor Ron DeSantis was emasculated by Donald Trump. Does that transition count? Well, he's not done with him. Still going through it. By the way, I believe this. None of them care about anybody transitioning. None of them care about folks that are gay. None of them care about folks that are bisexual. They don't care. It's a tool for political power. They don't care. They don't care. That's why in that gaffe video, when they showed Donald Trump and he said, can a man transition to a woman? He went, because in normal circles, he'd be like, I don't care. Sure, whatever. Not my life. Think about how much Donald Trump cares about people. Okay. David Lucero, by the way, you guys, welcome to Tier 1. Thank you, guys. Sam Lanina, ooh, welcome to Tier 1 as well. Apologies for destroying your name. Super chats, YouTube comments, you guys. Matt Gaetz on a white Ford Bronco is this tag here. I like it. Maz Drabani, they say. I was thinking of you yesterday as soon as Netanyahu said the axis of evil nonsense. We've been here before. Love and comedy, Trump's hate. Thoughts? I'm going to get you in and respond directly.
Yeah, I think he was talking about the Axis of Evil again. So they're referencing the Axis of Evil comedy tour, which was the tour I did in the early aughts, where when George Bush Jr. said there's an Axis of Evil, he goes, it's North Korea, it's Iraq, and Iran. I was like, how do we end up in here? So Yeah, Netanyahu's bringing back the terminology again. And yeah, I guess I was born to be evil. I don't know what else I can do. You know, born in Iran, I can't get away from it. Sometimes I wish I was born in Sweden or Finland, and I wouldn't be evil at all. I'd just be, you know, tall.
Isn't that weird how that works? I would love for someone to ask them, what is it about Maz Debrani that's made him not as evil as you consider everyone else that was born in exact same conditions and country and areas as he was? What's the difference? What's the difference?
But that's like remember when Donald Trump was saying, he's like, why are all our immigrants from these S-hole countries? He goes, why don't they come from Norway and Sweden? And you're like, well, because they got good health care and we didn't bomb them and they don't have to flee. There's a lot of reasons.
Weird how that the reasons when you ask for them, you actually get them. Yeah. Aaron Okinos says, and what qualified as an accident? I think I'm missing which story. Maybe my brain is there. Do you remember?
He's talking about the Trump accident. The accident tracker. Yeah, accident tracker.
Well, none of it qualifies as an accident. Bette Noir says, this should have an idiocy tracker, 100%. The HM Fan 2010 says, does Trump voiding into his diaper count as an accident? Are we counting
That's
those?
Good, yeah.
I like that one too. Damn.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.